and welcome to Inside Right, episode 14. Apologies for the episode delays. I've been unwell, but I'm good now. Today I'm joined by Ryan Mervchich.
Yes.
Said the last name correct,
yes,
didn't I?
Yes, you did. Difficult
Perfect.
One.
Well, I've had your dad on before, so
yes.
It's all good. How are you? You good?
I'm good. I'm good. Hot today. It's very hot.
Too hot.
Too hot.
They say you can never get it too hot, but look, 42 degrees at 2:30 p.m. today, that's too hot for me.
Too hot.
I don't know how to do it in Qatar for the World Cup. let's talk a bit about... I'm going to tell you how we're going to do your episode today. So we're going to talk about your footballing career in the NPL.
Yes.
Because it is so cutthroat, and I'm not sure if a lot of people know that.
Yeah, it's. I think a lot of people think about, I guess, a representative side of the NPL is just, oh, it's a higher level of playing. No, it's a lot more than just that. It's environment, you know, at certain clubs, certain teams, it's just, it can be...
completely different.
Completely different.
Yep.
You know, being in various teams myself, you know, different coaches, different environments, you know, some are very calm, walk you through everything, and then others are, you make a mistake and...
you're gone.
You're getting told.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
It's absolutely crazy. Can you start by introducing yourself and share a little bit about your soccer career so far?
Yeah, so obviously, as you said, my name's Ryan Mervchich. I'm currently 20 years old.
Yep.
My footballing journey would have started from a kid, as most people do.
Yep.
You know, like you said, you had Dad on the podcast a few weeks ago and...
it was a year ago.
A year ago.
Yeah, it was
Jeez,
a while. It was
while.
Actually my first ever guest.
First ever guest.
There you go.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
That's a while. Still talks about it now.
Still talks about
Still
it like
about
it was yesterday. Yep.
Yeah. no, he's obviously, as you would have seen in the podcast, he's very always been football with him.
Yep.
Always been football. And then, you know, obviously me growing up, it's just being there, being put there, training, you know, going to the oval with Dad because he can kick a ball.
Yeah, exactly. And catch one too.
Yeah, he can catch one as well. But yeah, so that's just, I guess, how my football journey started. You know, I started playing at Como Ginnelli, local club to myself. Grew up in Ginnelli, so local club. Moved to Barton Ridge. And then from there, went to Lillipilli. And then from Lillipilli, I went into the NPL system. You know, I was one of those boys that went into the NPL system late.
Okay, how old were you?
My first year was under 14s.
Yep, gotcha.
At Bankstown United, which they were NPL 2 at the stage, but comps worked a bit different back there.
Yeah.
Pretty much NPL 3 now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So gotcha.
That was my first year representative football, NPL football.
There you go. Yeah. So you went from Bankstown. Where did you go after that?
I went to St. George FC. Really, really funny story, that one. You know, they'd very good team.
Yeah.
Had a lot of top players.
Good coaches too, I can imagine.
Yeah, good coaches. Yep. My age group in particular, they were in the quarterfinals the year before.
They've been up there. Very good.
Yeah, so I was, you know, coming from an NPL 3 team straight into a top NPL 1 team.
Which has been a shock.
It was very different.
Yeah.
Very different.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I guess that change, like you said, a lot of people don't understand it, the cutthroatness of it.
Yeah.
And the cutthroatness between different levels.
Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like just completely different, you know. You go from, oh, you're playing soccer, it's a bit of fun, to
it's very... I know, I can look, my sister, she decided to join late too. So her first year was, how old is she? She's 14. So she was 14 too when she started. She started at Camden Tigers, which were dead last in the... I'm not going to put too much shit on them, but they're, look, didn't win a game.
Yeah.
Goal difference in the minus hundreds,
yeah,
you know, stuff like that. But you have to get in the system.
Yeah.
Once you're in the system, you're known. Yeah. And now she's playing for the MacArthur Rams next season. So it's just all about trying to develop, get out of your comfort zone, you know, take on your challenges, and that's how you become a better player.
It is. It is. You know, it's about putting yourself in those environments that you don't want to be in.
Yeah.
You know, environments where you're going to make mistakes.
Yeah.
And that's the best way to learn as a player.
100%. Yeah. 100%. Now, as we've spoken about, we've had your dad on the podcast before. Mm. How has he had a big influence on your upbringing and football?
Well, I'm an only child, so I guess my life has always involved a lot of my parents being there, being around.
Yep.
So with Dad's love for football and, you know, his ability to still play as he got older, you know, I was going down and watching him play, you know, as... a child going into, you know, 6, 7, 8 years of age, you know, every Sunday going down to Loftus Rovers, you know, sitting there watching him play. And, yeah, he's just always had a big influence, you know, being a coach himself, which I'm sure he mentioned. Very always striving to coach me from a young age. So I guess
try to get the best out of others.
Yeah, and I think that's what really helped me grow as a footballer, you know. I was put in a lucky situation, you know. I had a coach as a father. And, you know, that really helped. That helped grow my love for the game.
Big boost.
You know, he'll, you know, if you ask him, he'll tell you stories that I will never remember, right? I think he tells a story that, you know, when the World Cup was, and I can't remember what year it was, maybe, you know, he just, me and him were watching games at night, and it's like, you know.
It's the best. And they're back to back to back.
Of course.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, and you know.
It's those memories.
And like I said, I would have been like a child, like a toddler at that stage. So I don't remember them too well, but yeah, he says, just always from young, I've always just enjoyed
loved
the game.
It. That's awesome. That's so cool. Okay. Make or break question. I already know the answer to this, but I didn't. I thought you were a United fan. Turns out you're a Chelsea fan. Which is not too much better. That's coming from a Liverpool fan, though. Thought, what's going on with Chelsea? I'm just going to say it as it is.
Mate, I couldn't even tell you.
Yeah.
In all honesty, I don't know. I think, I don't know, they have a few good players there, a good core, you know, players like Reece James. I really like him, you know, his attitude, his non-traditional role as a right back. You know, him, Trent, Alexander-Arnold play very non-traditional roles. I like them. You know, I liked Mason Mount, obviously, before he went to United.
I had to think the other day, does he still play? Like, I've not seen him play a game. And when he has, he's been rubbish. Like,
I don't know. I just think a lot of the new signings are players that I haven't really heard of.
Well, it all happened over one transfer window, right?
You know, I think a lot of the times just Chelsea, along with a lot of the big other clubs, they just have all this money. And they get so caught up in the hype. And, you know, a lot of the time I look at boys like, you know, Mason Mount, Reece James at Chelsea. Like, they came through the youth system. Trent at Liverpool came through the youth system. You know, just countless other boys in other teams. I couldn't tell you, but
Saka Arsenal.
Saka at Arsenal, you know, a lot of these boys come through those youth systems. And I think
it's in their blood.
The neglect from that promotion. And I think maybe that's what's happening with Chelsea. You know, I'm not there. I'm not the coaching staff. I'm not the board members. I'm not the owner. So I just think a few rough seasons, you know. In all honesty, they shouldn't have got rid of Tuchel when he won the Champions.
Agreed.
I think that was a very stupid move to do. You know, he won them the Champions League and then, what, 6 months later he was gone.
Yeah. Well, and FA Cup final, League Cup final, won the Super... I'm not sure about the Super Cup, but they definitely won the Club World Cup.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
You know, he won trophies with them in a period where, you know, they weren't winning much.
No.
And just, it was a surprise to me that they got rid of him. I was like, what are they getting rid of him for? Because he had a bad start to the season.
I know.
I think from there, it's been a crazy. Bit downhill.
I think since they've won the Champions League, the players they've still got in that team are Reece James and Thiago Silva. I think that's about it. There's two or three.
Yeah.
Which is just ridiculous. Todd Bowley's running that club like it's a fantasy football team. It's not right.
It does seem like that. You know, some of the big signings, it's just, you know, you look at a Man City, you look at, you know, some of the boys that they're signing, like Haaland, like he was, for me, he was just one big transfer that they made that year. And it's like, you know, they brought him in there to fill the gap in their team.
Yeah.
You know, I felt Man City lacked a proper striker and they brought him in there to solve that. I think Chelsea just bringing in players for the sake of it.
Crispin Nkunku, because he's got a cool Instagram page.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I know what you mean. So was that the first time you started watching?
So that's a funny story, obviously, you know, like you said, you thought I was a Man United fan, dad being a Man United fan. I always wanted to be a bit different to dad, didn't want to support Man United. And I remember the game instinctively. It was, I think it was a 2010 Champions League when Chelsea won it. It's
near Drogba's period.
I remember watching that game, watching Drogba score the goal, score the winning penalty with dad in the morning. And I fell in love from there.
Yeah, there you go.
It was that moment, you know, I was like, wow. And just from there.
Yep.
Always been a Chelsea supporter.
That's awesome. That's so cool. Okay, let's move on to the news.
Yes.
The exciting news.
Yes.
Next year, you are going to the USA. Let's talk a bit about that and how you see that going. So this new chapter, this is exciting stuff. Yes. This is really exciting.
Yes.
What's your motivation? What motivated you behind? What's the motivation behind this decision to move to the US?
So it's always been there, I guess, from young. I'm not too sure if Dad mentioned, but he knows a boy that he sent over to the US.
Yes, he's mentioned that to me.
Name's Liam Curran. You know, he sent him over when he was around my age. He's currently the head goalkeeping coach of Atlanta United, the MLS team. Yes. You know, so it's always been that, I guess, that idea of, oh, you know, college is an option. You know,
yes,
it's an option that not a lot of people know about.
Yeah,
and
it's a hidden gem.
Yeah, and I was always thinking about it, and then, you know, coming through year 11 and 12, that's when COVID happened.
Mm.
You know, for me, I was home for most of 2 years, like a lot of people out there.
Yeah.
And it just got put on hold. You know, the idea completely left my head.
Yeah.
You know, started to work a bit during COVID, doing a bit of coaching, and then just went, oh, yeah, I'll just go to uni. Just the idea sort of fell out of my head. And then a few boys I was playing down with at Wollongong got the opportunity to go over as well.
Mm.
I was like, oh, you know what? Maybe I should.
Let's have a crack.
Let's have a look. Let's see how I go at that. See if anything comes from it.
Mm.
And then I got into contact with a guy, John Stevenier from Upper 90.
Yep.
Very, very good. Helped me through the whole way. You know, obviously he was talking to coaches, helping promote my stuff out there, and it just came, you know. I got offers from multiple universities all over the country.
Yeah.
Division 1, Division 2, Division 3, NAIA, which is another governing body.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it just so happened to be that the college I'm going to just fell there, very good scholarship, and, yeah.
So what is the college you're going to?
It's called Merseyhurst University. So they're in the top of Pennsylvania in a city called Erie.
Yep.
It's quite interesting there. It's on the big lake.
Yep.
And on the other side of the lake, you're in Canada. So it's
very north.
Yeah, so it'd be cold, you know, going from 42 degree heat here today to minuses,
right?
Over there.
I know. Yeah. So how's the facilities over there? Have you seen?
Oh, I haven't seen a lot of the facilities in terms of like the gym and stuff. I know that, you know, they have synthetic fields, they have grass fields.
Okay, that's good. That's good they got both, because synthetic's a bit, I don't know how I feel about that. But
Look, I agree with you. I'd prefer to play on grass a lot of the time, but obviously being over there in the snow.
What can you do?
They have to have a synthetic field.
Yep. Fair enough.
So,
know anything about the new team?
There's a few international boys around there.
That's good.
Yeah. They are what they call nationally ranked, which is, I guess, each division there's the top 25 teams.
Yep.
So they're in the top 25 teams in their division.
Yep.
So very strong boys. I think. Yeah, I think there's a good mix of nationalities that provide their own flair. You know. Have a few English boys, a few German boys. So I think that's be a good mix of players and a good mix of cultures.
Have you met the coach yet?
Yeah, I've been on a few phone calls with the coach.
American?
He's not American. I'm not too sure what he is, to be honest.
There you go.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. That'll be something I have to ask you later.
Yes.
That's cool.
Yeah, I'll definitely get that one for you.
How is he? Good guy?
Very good. Very good to talk to.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the time, sometimes coaches are just coaches.
Yeah, I know. I know exactly what you mean.
And it's like, you know, it doesn't make it easy to open up to, easy to talk to.
Yeah.
But no, very...
The modern day coaches are more, you know.
They're more...
If you're good, we're going to play good.
Yeah. Yeah, he's very, you know, just the conversations I've had, always very, very willing to help.
Yeah.
Very open to helping.
Yeah.
You know, I ran into a few issues with the... like being eligible to play over there, just with a few things, obviously being a university transfer, and guiding my whole way through the process,
you know,
in contact with him.
That's so
trying
good.
To figure it out. And yeah, he's very
fantastic.
Very good.
Great to hear. Now, what does a normal day look like for Ryan Mervich?
Well, that's not good.
Yeah, well, that's not good.
That's not good.
But I'm going to keep it in, because it's going to make a few people laugh. What does a day look like for Ryan Mervich in an American university?
In an American university. Oh, that's a good one. Obviously, these are all plans. I'm not too sure what it's actually going to be like when I get over there. To my knowledge, classes are around 8 o'clock in the morning till like university, I guess, whenever you finish with your classes. Yep. So my plans wake up around 6 o'clock. I'm usually up quite early because I coach in the morning before schools. Wake up, go do my own little session or a session with a few of the boys if they want to.
Yep.
Come home, eat breakfast, shower.
Yep.
Go do uni till about 12, 1 o'clock whenever we finish.
Yep.
Training's at around 1 to 3 o'clock each day. Mm-hmm. Just depends on the starting time. Yeah,
fair enough.
They got to juggle a lot of boys. Train, go eat, go to the gym, go study. Yep. Then go to sleep.
Yep, fair enough.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. That's cool. Yeah, good. What are you looking forward to the most?
New experience.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the time when you stay in the same environment, you get very stale.
Yep.
Very, very stale. An experience just to not only play football in a different country, to study in a different country.
Be surrounded by different people.
And to see a different country.
Mm.
You know, I've never been overseas personally and...
That would be fantastic.
Yeah, to go to such a big place, you know, that America is, and to be over there. It's not like you're over there for an 8-week holiday and you're staying in one place for a day and another place. I'm over there for at least 2 years and it's just
a lifestyle.
Mm,
that'll be awesome.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. How will this benefit you more than just choosing to go to a university here and play NPL?
So for me, the biggest thing is obviously I'm on a scholarship.
Yep. Okay.
So the biggest thing, the most prominent thing with that is I get university paid for. So if we're looking outside of football, which I think it's important for footballers to look outside of football as well.
Yeah.
So I think the ability to...
That thing to reassure.
Yeah.
Have a plan B
Plan B, yeah. Even if it's not a plan B, it's to keep your mind active. I know so many boys that just don't do anything.
Yeah.
You know, they're so focused on training and then... when something happens football-wise, it just crushes them.
Yeah.
I think that's obviously the biggest and the most prominent, I guess, benefit of it. I think the ability to go over to a different environment and see how I go in a different environment football-wise, just an ability to stay playing and to stay training. I think the hardest thing for boys around my age is, you know, they grow up, they have jobs, they have family, you know.
Yeah.
Girlfriends come.
Friends.
You go out, you go partying, you know, you go to clubbing. And I think the hardest thing is to keep the training maintained.
Yes.
To keep all that, you know, go do your gym work, go do your training, go...
That discipline is very hard to maintain.
Yeah, and I think that's where a lot of boys fall off, and it's the boys that sit there and continuously do it till they're 24, 25.
Yeah.
The boys that make it. And I think going to America allows me to continue that.
And it's a good balance too. Mm.
Yeah, it's very good. You know, at the moment here, I'm working, I'm studying, I'm playing. It's getting frantic sometimes.
Yep.
You know, over there, it's just studying football.
Yep. So, which is awesome.
Mm.
So when do you leave? What's the date?
9th of January.
Very soon. So a month?
Yeah.
There you go.
Very close. Very close.
Very good. What are you doing at the moment to help your transition to the US?
To help my transition into the US, I guess...
What's the process?
What's the process? Right now, a lot of my stuff's all sorted, you know, got visas, got all of that. It's just waiting just for the 9th to come.
Yep.
I guess from a footballing sense, making sure I'm just staying fit, especially over Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, you tend to stop, you tend to eat a bit.
Yep.
So just maintaining my fitness, making sure that, you know, when I do go training and stuff like that, I'm not putting myself in a position to get injured.
Yeah.
The last thing I want to do is...
Do a Reece James, sorry.
Yeah.
Little Liverpool fan comment there.
No, but you're correct. You know, I don't want to go do stuff and then get injured.
Yeah.
And then do
something silly like I did a few months ago, playing basketball, jump backwards, sprained ankle.
Yeah.
Missed the rest of the season.
Yeah, you know, especially when training here isn't as important as making sure I'm 100% for overseas.
Totally agree. Yeah. Can you share any specific challenges you faced during your football career so far and how you've overcome them?
Yeah, so I guess the biggest thing for me was coming into the system late.
Mm.
You know, coming in at that 14 years old, you know, I didn't play NPL1 football until under 16s.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that's, you know, that's...
It comes with its own challenges.
Yeah, that's late.
Because people have been there for years.
Yeah, people have been there, you know, since under 12. So what's that, 12s, 13s, 14? People have been there for 4 years.
Yeah.
I guess the biggest thing for me was not so much staying in the team that I was in, but if I needed to move, when I did move, it was that. It was, who are you?
Yeah.
Where have you played?
Yeah.
That was one of the biggest challenges. And I guess... Yeah, I think as well, I'm not a very technical player.
Yep.
You know,
opposite, you're right back, correct?
Left back. Yeah, yes. So full back. So very, very mobile, very fit.
Left foot.
Yep. Yeah, so that's the sort of player I am, you know, just get up and down, yep. Do the simple things. And I think that's one of the big challenges as well, not being that technical player.
Yep.
You know, combine that with coming into the system late, you know, coaches look at you and go, you're not technical. I don't know who you are.
Yep.
Opportunities don't tend to, you know, arise themselves, especially in clubs like those A-League clubs and yeah. stuff. You know, yeah. I find it never really got the opportunity because no one knew who I was.
Yeah. There you go. What valuable lessons have you learned from being around football?
Discipline.
Yep. Yep.
Biggest thing, I think a lot of people take the discipline they get for granted.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to be early to training.
Yeah,
got to be early to games. You've got to make sure you wear your polo and your tracksuit.
Yep.
You know, you've got to get ready at this time. You've got to, you know.
Do those extra 1%ers.
Yeah.
Which could all add to up to 100.
You know, make sure, you know, you're doing your recovery. Make sure you're doing your gym work. I think it instills a baseline of discipline.
Yep.
I think.
Do you go through your games? Because I think that's very helpful too.
Yeah. So, you know. Many benefits of going through your games. Yep. You know, you get to look at what you did well, what you didn't do well. Get to look at, I guess, what opposition players do and what they don't do.
Yep.
And you just get to look at just your whole game as a whole.
Mm.
I think it's very good. It's very good just to watch football in general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. What are your long-term goals in football, both at university level and beyond?
I think myself, along with a lot of people, obviously want to go pro.
Yes, yeah. That's the dream.
That is the dream.
And that's the target.
That is the dream. It's a target. I don't know. I think for me in university, I want to establish myself as a player there, as a leader in the team.
Yeah.
You know, going over there with the senior team experience that I have, I think I could provide the team over there with a lot of advantages. You know, going into a college system, you come straight from high school. You know, some boys in the team that are 18 years old.
Yeah.
You know, played under 18s. I think for me, I want to be able to go over there, play the best football I've played in a long time, you know, do well at school, excel there, and then hopefully opportunities come from that. Like I said, to go pro, even if it's semi-pro, right? Like, just do the best I can.
Yeah, fair enough. Are you strong personality in the dressing room? Would you say you're one of those players?
I'm the sort of player that leads from example. I'm not the sort of player that you'll sit there in the change room and I'll be G'ing everyone up,
but
I'm the sort of player that will go out there and if I lose a ball, I'll go chase the guy I lost it to, the guy after.
Yeah.
That's the sort of player I am. So I think in a dressing room setup, I think a lot of boys would look at me and go, I want to do what he does.
Yep.
Not so much what I say.
Yeah. What I do. Yeah, that's cool. Do you have any words of advice for young soccer players aspiring to make similar transitions to other countries abroad or trying to crack that NPL system?
Consistency.
Yep.
And discipline.
Yep.
Consistency
in hard work?
Consistency in all aspects.
All aspects.
Consistency in hard work. Consistency in showing up. Consistency in doing the 1%ers.
Yeah. Being a good person too.
Being a good person. Oh, a lot of people forget that football is not just football.
Yeah,
it's what you do off the pitch. Yeah. And I know so many boys and so many players that have made teams and haven't made teams based on their personality.
Yeah.
You know, boys that you go, oh, technical wise, how's he done that? And then you go, you know what? It's because he's a good person. And you know, go get boys that, oh, why haven't they made that team? Oh, they're ahead.
Yeah.
I think consistency in the way you apply yourself.
Yep.
To every aspect of football. Consistency in, if you're struggling to make the NPL, consistency into rocking up to trials.
Yep.
You know, that was the journey for me. You know, I'd been trialing for years.
Mm.
You know, I went to, in all honesty, Wes, I went to the last trial and I didn't even know if I wanted to go to that. Yeah. The last trial was the one where I got picked.
Exactly. There you go. That just sums it up for you. Yeah. That's awesome.
Consistency so and discipline.
Good. Yep.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, quick fire questions.
Yes.
Are we ready?
Yes.
We're ready. Best goal you've scored?
Best goal I've scored against Wollongong Wolves.
There you go.
Under 18s. I was playing right back. Don't ask me why I was playing right back. I don't know why I was playing right back. I've got the ball. I've cut in about 35 yards out. I've heard someone in the crowd shoot. I just was like, you know what? I'm just going to shoot.
Have a crack.
Yeah. And it went the goalkeeper in. From 35 yards out. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Best player you've played with?
Best player I've played with. Oh, that's a tough one. Who have I played with? I played with a few A-League boys.
Yep.
Who have I played with? Ooh, there's a few good players there.
Okay.
A few good players. That's a tough one to answer.
A couple of names in there? A
couple of names. Mickey Neal.
Yep.
Central Coast Mariners. I know his first name, Haji. I can't remember his last name. Sydney FC.
Yep.
Who else is there? Lockie Scott, Western Sydney Wanderers. Jake True, Western Sydney Wanderers.
Yeah, wow. So you've played with these guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Easy to play with, I can imagine.
Yeah. They're...
In terms of ability and quality.
Some of these boys just... They have one thing and they do it very well.
Yep.
You know, I look at Lockie Scott. He's very good at holding up a ball. Mm-hmm. Very good at, you know, being that striker. And he does that very well.
Very well.
He's not the player that's going to go run and chase after balls. Yep. That's not him.
No.
So he focuses on doing that one thing very, very well.
Yeah, gotcha. Best game you've played? Best game. Is it the same as the goal or no?
That's close. Ooh, best game I've played. Yeah, I'd say it'd be around that one. Yeah, it's a pretty good game.
Okay, there you go. Best coach you've had?
That's a difficult one.
Is it your dad or someone else? I know your dad wasn't really your coach, it was a mentor.
It depends what you mean by best coach. I've had good coaches. Okay. I've had big name coaches, you know, Luke Wilkshire, Dave Carney.
Wilkshire, really?
Ex-Socceroos, both of them.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, Dave Carney as well. So, like, there's some boys, there's some guys that played Socceroos.
Yeah.
You know, had good coaches growing up in development. You know, my St. George coach, Johnny Christou, he's the one that pretty much made me who I was.
Okay. Yeah, well, I'm going to take that answer then. Yeah. That one. Yeah, cool. Worst injury you've had?
Worst injury? Tore my groin when I was about 12.
So not any devastating injuries. No. That's really good.
Luckily. Touch wood. Touch wood wherever wood is. Yeah. Touch wood.
There we go. Touch wood. Yeah, that's good. Favorite thing to do in training?
Favorite thing to do in training?
What's your favorite activity?
I like 4v4 possession drills, 5v5 possession drills mm-hmm. with big goals.
Is it like one team attacks, one team defends, or both?
So both. So you got the goal set up where the goal would usually be and then another goal outside the D, outside the 18-yard box. Favorite.
So it's mini-matches.
Mini-match. I like it just picking the ball up. If no one presses, you just touch and shoot.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Most pressure you felt in a game?
Under-16s, grand final against Sydney FC.
Ooh, how'd you go?
We lost 1-0 to a penalty in the last 3 minutes of extra time.
That's the...
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you'll back yourself because you're a footballer, but do you want to take one of those pens in a penalty shootout?
I think I was on one of those pens.
Which, what?
I think it was where four. Where would you put? I think it was four.
Four, yeah.
Look, it's one of those things where someone's got to do it.
Yeah. Exactly right. Yeah. And if you back yourself, you back yourself. What's the worst that can happen?
I think we would have had him in penalties, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
That's good. Best moment you've had playing?
Best moment I've had playing?
You felt playing.
Ooh. There's been so many.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, a lot with the coaches, a lot with the best games. I think it's just, it's very, they've all been good moments for different things. You know, good moments because you score. Good moments because you play well. Good moments because you're having fun. Yeah. It's very, very hard. I think, that's a difficult one to answer.
There's a few things. Yeah. Yep. Fair enough. It's quiz time. Ooh. All right. 10 soccer trivia questions.
Okay.
You'll be fine. I think you'll get a few.
Hopefully.
A couple of hard ones in there. A couple of okay ones.
Yeah.
Let's start. What club does Edison Cavani play for?
Ooh. I'm just going to say PSG. I know it's not PSG.
It's Boca Junior.
Okay, I thought it was some South American team, yeah.
What nationality is Alexander Isak, the striker at Newcastle?
Ooh.
Number 14.
It's African, isn't it?
No.
Swedish, there you
go. Fun fact. Who won the Scottish Premiership last season?
Celtic.
That's one.
I knew that one.
I knew you would. What position is Tottenham currently sitting at in the Premier League?
Seventh.
Fifth.
Okay.
They've got 1 point in their last five and they're fifth.
Yeah.
Well, that just shows how good they were at the very start of the season. What club, I think this will, you'll find this interesting. What club has hit the woodwork the most in the Premier League this season?
Man City.
It's Liverpool with 10.
Okay.
Darwin Nunez with 5.
Oh, that's because he misses a goal half the other time.
What country is the club LASK from?
LASK. Portugal.
Austria.
There's a few hard ones
in there. What is Newcastle player Longstaff's first name?
Jason.
Sean Longstaff. Sorry.
Now you're right.
Still, this one, you might get this next one. Maybe. I think you should. No pressure. Who won Player of the Year in the New South Wales NPL last season?
Ali Kurileski.
There we go. Well done, 2. How many goals does Harry Suter have for the Socceroos?
3.
10.
10, wow.
I think 22 appearances, okay. If I'm right.
Yeah.
Last question. Take 3 from 10 if you get this correct. What type of football shirt am I wearing?
Is it Finland?
It is Finland.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was.
Finnish national team.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, beautiful. Thank you so much joining me on Inside Right, episode 14.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited for your next chapter in your life, going to the US the 9th of January. Mm. That's so exciting.
Maybe we should jump on a podcast whilst I'm over there.
Sounds great. Awesome. All right. Beautiful. Thank you very much.
No problem.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you.